A sweep of the Astros, another bomb from Marcelo Zuna, and Ronald Acuna finally gets off the board. It's been a great week in Braves country as they return to the scene of their 2021 World Series title and keep on winning. From the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, this is the Braves Report presented by Kroger, the podcast that takes you inside the clubhouse and gives you the stories behind the score. I'm Barrett Salee, hanging out in the heart of Braves country, and we say this basically every show. It is a happy Braves country yet again, especially for Ronald Acuna Jr. He gets that monkey off his back and rounding the bases. You could tell it was a relief. It wasn't a celebration. It was a relief, and he deserves every bit of that. Hey, make Mom's Day special with the help from your local Kroger. Kroger can help you plan a brunch, mimosa bar, or a special floral arrangement with savings on flowers, candies, and everything in between. Shop in-store or online at your local Kroger. And don't forget the greeting card. Visit Kroger.com/Mother's Day. So, Wednesday afternoon, it was a very big day for the Braves in a lot of different areas, most specifically for Ronald Acuna Jr. However, the three-game sweep against an Astros team that came in with a little bit of momentum. They finally got things going. They sort of figured out the pitching rotation. And the Braves put a halt to that. It was a very big series and a major statement for a team that's been making major statements all season long.
That's a really good ball club. They're in October and playing deep into October for a reason every year. They're a really good team, and to be able to come in here and play some good baseball, and we had some guys throw the ball really, really well and put together some really great at-bats against really good arms. So just take it for what it is and go back home, enjoy the off day, and get back at it on Friday.
A big reason why, or at least a big reason the Braves finished off the sweep, was Ronald Acuna Jr., 109 off the bat, 422 to dead center field. Ronald looked into the dugout, looked at his teammates, kind of shrugged his shoulders, and then in his mind, he was thinking, finally got the job done. Finally, after 65 at-bats in 2024, found that first round tripper. And it was a big one. It was a clutch home run. Broke a tie with the Astros in a game that was, let's be honest, Max didn't have his best game early. Max grinded. And so you have to rely on your other teammates. And Acuna gets the job done. And here is Brian Snitker after the game talking a little bit about what that meant to not only Ronald, but to this team.
As I said, even last night, he was kind of mishitting some balls and getting hits. And I was kind of almost like, when guys start doing that, then they're just, they're ready to get going and get on a run. So, he's getting his hits and stealing bags. And I'm sure it was good for him to get that first home run out of the way.
We've seen throughout the course of Ronald's career that his home runs come in bunches. He'll go a week with three bombs. He'll go 2 weeks with five. He will put a team on his shoulders and carry them, which is important because the bats aren't going to be cooking all the time. You can't go through the entire line and have every bat cooking. But if you have two and one of them's Ronald Acuna, then it's almost impossible to pitch for pitchers to game plan against this lineup. And here is Max Fried talking a little bit about what Ronald's home run meant and what it means for him to get that monkey off his back.
You know that he's as good as anyone in the game, and it's early, same kind of thing. He's probably got, 500 more at-bats. So, no one here was expecting anything else besides him going out there and continually just taking good ABs. And, it might not seem like it's typical Ronald fashion, but I know I looked up today and said he hit 300. So, it's exciting, and to have him, go go deep in that part of the ballpark on that kind of pitch, it's a good sign of seeing him really do it.
Speaking of Max Fried, it was an important performance this season because we saw him get shelled in game one. We saw him get shelled in the first inning of game two. Then he makes it through four innings in that game. Comes back, pitches a gem in his third start. And then Wednesday afternoon, it was kind of hit or miss. You look at his line, five innings, seven hits, three earned runs, four walks, two strikeouts, and he gave up the home run to Alvarez. The reason this is important in my mind is that things didn't go his way. This easily could have been one of those games where things just go off the rails. And he found a way to get the job done. He wiggled off the hook. Now, granted, in the bottom of the fifth, things got a little sketchy. And you know what? Early in the season, you can't push your pitchers to eight, nine innings, and that's perfectly fine. Yeah, he gave up the RBI single to Alex Bregman, the double to Kyle Tucker. Think about those names, Alex Bregman, Kyle Tucker. Sometimes you just get beat by good players. And to me, that's what happened when things, you know, sort of ended for Max in that fifth inning. But for things to not go his way, for him to sort of get into trouble, wiggle off the hook, to, you know, sort of go into these two, three batter lulls where things aren't going their way, going his way, you know, that was very important in terms of what Max needs to build off of moving forward. And here is Brian Snitker talking a little bit about his starter.
I thought Max did a great job of limiting the damage in his last inning. He kind of had a lot of traffic and kept the game manageable, which is really, really good. So I told him, I mean, he wasn't hitting on all cylinders and everything, but man, he never caved in and gave us a chance.
So is Max back? I think that's the biggest thing to me. Is Max back? And I think the answer is yes. And I'm not going to say, you know, hey, the contract year is getting to him or whatever. I mean, we can't go inside in between his ears and figure out exactly what he's thinking. But we've seen sort of every part of the pitching spectrum now. From him getting rocked to him pitching a gem to him sort of finding his way through a big game to him limiting the damage after a less than stellar first inning. What more do you want him to do? I think he's done it. To me, you don't have to relearn, right? Every single season you go into spring training and players work on something. We heard, you know, Spencer Strider obviously worked on his off speed and, you know, you sort of tweak things, right? You're trying to work on things and sometimes they don't work. Or sometimes they take away from your preparation, your normal preparation. And so every pitcher goes through a feeling out period. And I think right now, and Max talked about it after the game, he feels good. He feels close. He knows where he is, while not perfect, is certainly what this team needs.
You know, definitely don't want to walk four guys in the first three innings, but did a good enough job of getting some ground balls. Defense was, you know, really, really great behind me, being able to just let me work and, you know, was falling behind a lot of guys, a lot of deep counts, a lot of... I think through the first three or four innings, my ball to strike ratio was pretty even. So it wasn't like I was getting ahead and, staying on the attack there. It was more of trying to get weak contact behind in the count, get some jam drop ground balls. Just the later it went, just kind of, I guess it fell off the rails a little bit. Was not able to execute on fastballs as much as I wanted. Felt like I was, falling behind. Travis was doing a great job just keeping me in it. And the guys were, making some good plays and turning some double play balls and stuff to be able to limit some of that. But, when the guys go and they give you a lead and you give it up immediately, it's something that, looking back, I'd probably bothers me the most, of just not being able to get out of that inning with either just limiting it. But yeah, I feel like I'm pretty close, even not having, being as sharp today in that last inning, give up some pitches out of the zone. That's a good hitting team over there, and they were able to, get some base hits and do some things. And I think I threw three of those were like out of the strike zone, and they were able to really, you know, stay on it. So sometimes you just got to tip your hat to good players, and just, you know, hopefully stuff like that kind of bounces my way.
Yeah, Marcell Ozuna hit the bomb. That's not breaking news by any stretch of the imagination. That's what he does. Leads the majors in home runs. But it wasn't Marcell Ozuna in the series finale who I want to talk about. It's Orlando Arcia. He had the big two out RBI. He had the sac fly. He hit the home run in game two that apparently the Astros complained about, even though it literally bounced in the concourse, but whatever. So we're sort of back to me. That, you know, beginning of the season, Arcia was the MVP. Then Marcell kind of picks things up. And now, you know, Ronnie might get on a hot streak. But Orlando's back to sort of the beginning and where he is. Because all of those hits, the sac fly, the two out RBI, the home run, all of them seem to be in clutch situations. And here is Snit after the game talking a little bit about how his shortstop played on Wednesday and throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, he's got a slow heartbeat. I mean, I like seeing him in big situations. Even last year, he had a lot of big hits. And because he doesn't get caught up in all the excitement and whatever. He stays calm and slows the game down and allows himself a chance.
What's interesting about this team, and we talked about this a little bit last show, is they're doing it in a variety of different ways. Right? We're used to them bombing. They set the record last year. You know, that's kind of what this team has been. But we've seen them reel off six straight singles. We've seen them reel off five straight singles. And for them to be where they are, best record by winning percentage in baseball, and to be 13th in the league in home runs, you know, it kind of jumps out like, dang, they're not doing it the Braves way. They're not doing what this team was built to do. And that's a good thing. Because I looked at some stats. Some of these are regular stats. Some of these are, you know, a little more analytics, a little more fancy for the Utes out there. And if you don't know what Utes means, go watch My Cousin Vinny. If you haven't seen it yet, I'm disappointed in you. But homework for the weekend, of course, when the Braves aren't playing, go watch My Cousin Vinny. But think about this. The Braves lead the league in doubles with 51. Okay, that's a lot. You know, you look at, dang, that's a lot of doubles. It's pretty good. Let's put this in perspective. That's 11 more than second place. The Braves have 51. The next closest team has 40. And that's the Astros. They're 11 doubles up on the next best doubles team in the league. I don't care what you wanted this team to be. I don't care what you thought this team could be. Nobody thought they could do this. Nobody thought they could be a doubles machine and have that be the foundation of the offense. Sure, you could think that, and I thought they'd rally and get extra base hits and things like that. That's what good teams do, right? But to win this way is just, it's insane. I mean, it's utterly insane. And can you imagine what this offense is going to look like when the power outage sort of goes away, when the lights come back on? I mean, 13th in home runs. Yeah, you know, Marcell's been doing his thing, but it's not Braves baseball. You combine that with doubles, whew, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Now, this is a little more analytical, all right? Expected batting average, you know, they put this up, Baseball Savant, you know, whatever, StatCat, all of them, you know, have those advanced stats. And for those who, you know, are kind of new to this, expected batting average is what a ball should be. And it's park factor is weaved in and, you know, where teams are playing, all that stuff, right? They're tied for second with 270, at 270. Now, I know you look at that and say, well, yeah, sometimes you get unlucky. Well, yeah, sometimes you get lucky too. Second in the league with expected batting average at 270 is pretty unfathomable. It's one of those things where you have to really look and dig deep and you'll think, wow, yeah, some things didn't go our way, but a lot of things did. And yet here we are, second in the league. It's pretty remarkable. But this is the one that stood out to me. Hard hit balls, 95 plus, 46.3%. That's scary. That is absolutely scary to see that they are absolutely ripping the ball at a level that I don't know many teams that could slow it down. So you look at basically every factor, right? Snit hitting his home run, Marcell Ozuna's power, Arcia carrying the team early on, the pitching staff, Ronaldo Lopez, Max figuring things out. I can't imagine what more anybody would want from this team. You can want more individually, and I think for Ronald Acuna Jr., that's 100%. You know, I fully understand that. But this start for the Braves season, to me, is as well-rounded as any that I've ever seen, to be honest with you. I can't think of offhand a start of the season where you've basically checked every single box. Hey, we've got an all-star offer for Braves Report listeners, and this deal is a steal. For a limited time, pay only $1.25 a week for the AJC's baseball season pass. And it'll be like you're inside the clubhouse from now through the World Series. You'll get all the latest on trade rumors, fantasy baseball, postseason predictions, and more. Enjoy exclusive offers, giveaways, and contests to show off your fandom. Plus, you'll get access to the AJC's essential journalism, premium podcasts, official videos, original videos, and more. Get details and subscribe now by going to AJC.com/BSP. That's AJC.com/BSP. Get ready for a great season, sports fans. This deal is only for new subscribers. Coming up next, we'll get a preview of the Rangers series. My good friend Matt McLaren, 96.7, The Ticket in Dallas, joining to talk a little bit about the World Champs, the experience, and what the expectations are this weekend. You're listening to the Braves Report, presented by Kroger.
When you're looking for leading cardiac treatment, look to Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with 5 emergency cardiac care centers, so we're here when you need us most. We lead with more than 55 locations in Georgia. That means we're always in the heart of your neighborhood. We lead with clarity, because clear direction is better when it comes to understanding every step of your treatment. Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with heart.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to the Braves Report, joined now by a good friend. He used to be in Birmingham. Now he went back to Texas to be closer to home. He is Matt McLaren from 96.7 The Ticket. Mr. McLaren, dude, I miss you doing college football around here in Birmingham, but I know you're happy in Texas. What's up, man?
Yeah, you're right. I am back in Dallas where I grew up, and it's nice to be back home, be around family. And I mean, I do miss where I was before, but it's at least being back here, I show up and 3 months later, the Rangers win the World Series for the first time ever. So I'll take it.
Right. I credit you for that. I mean, your presence just evokes elite baseball.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that if you didn't get a ring, you deserve a ring.
I think so.
There's no doubt about that.
I don't disagree with you, man. I mean, the amount of time over my life, I asked my mom this because I've been going to Rangers games since before I can remember, since I was conscious enough to remember. My mom told me the first Rangers game I ever went to was in the summer of 1981. The first one I remember was like from 1984-ish. And to go through all of that, and then I move away and I come back and they win the World Series, yeah, they should send me a ring. I need to tell Boach next time I see him, like, hey, I want a ring.
You deserve it. You deserve it. So you are a lifelong Rangers fan. So I want to take you back, you know, whatever it was, 15 years ago or whatever that was when the Rangers just, they broke everybody's heart. What was that journey like? Because, like, honestly, as a Braves fan, like, I kind of felt your pain, right? We kind of went the same journey. So what was the satisfaction like after going through everything that y'all have gone through?
Man, you're referencing 2011, of course, the Game 6 fiasco where Cruz misplays the ball on the outfield and the Cardinals go on to win in seven. And that was, you know, I bring this up all the time, no matter whatever you think your worst sports loss was, the Rangers were one strike away twice from winning the World Series for a franchise that had never won the World Series and didn't get it done. And I mean, that almost for a little bit that following season, you're just so hurt. It was hard to watch the 2012 season, and they were still good. I mean, they made the playoffs a few times in the next couple of years, but they dropped off and they were so bad, you know, going through like right before COVID and then the COVID years and coming out of that, they were one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. They had the number two overall pick. They had the number four overall pick. I mean, it just was like, man, I had accepted a long time ago that I probably love a franchise that's never going to win it. And so last year, of all the teams, they had some good teams in the 90s. People forget.
Yeah.
You know, Pudge won an MVP. Juan Gonzalez won a couple MVPs. Those late 90s teams were good. Just ran into the Yankees, 2010, 2011, losing back-to-back World Series. And that team last year, it was just so random to win the World Series with how good they were. I thought at the beginning of the season, I was like, you know, maybe they got a shot at making the playoffs, be a wildcard team as they build for the future. And they just got hot at the right time, won 11 straight games on the road in the playoffs. And there's times now, I mean, I'm wearing my World Series champion shirt, my hat, you know, I got all the gear and everything. And it's just one of those things where it still sometimes doesn't seem like it actually happened. Like, it's just, it's so surreal.
Yeah, we felt that in 2022, you know, coming off the 21 World Series win. Like, we have the gold-plated hats, you have the shirts with all the little gold glitter on. It's like, damn, did that really happen? And it did. And like, even today, you know, sometimes, like, we played, you know, in Houston, the Braves were in Houston for the first time since the 2021 World Series. And they showed highlight after highlight. And it's still like that Jorge Soler home run. Did it really go out of this? Oh, it did go out of the stadium, right? It's like that really happened. So, you know, like I said, we kind of are in the same paths in terms of our baseball fandom, you know, as the Braves. Look, I was a season ticket holder in the 80s. I saw some really, really bad baseball for a very long time. So the Rangers this year, looking at the AL West, it's almost just like it's a bunch of what the hell's going on, right? Because everybody's sort of bunched up. Now the Rangers are, what, a half game up or whatever it is now. But it just doesn't seem like anybody has asserted themselves. Now it's early, but what do you credit that to?
Yeah, it's really kind of weird. And I also think the fact that Houston has just been horrible, except when they play the Rangers so far this season. I mean, coming into today, if I recall, I think they're 6-14, which is just so odd. And they've had their injuries and whatnot. I think that has a lot to do with it. Yeah, it's early. The A's are probably going to be a little bit better than maybe what we all thought. We kind of knew Seattle would be solid. The Angels are probably, I would say, more surprising than anything. And then the Astros, you just wonder how deep into the season can you get before you're just done? And they'll get some help, I think. But the Rangers are running into it too. I mean, Derek Lowe hasn't played yet this season. Derek Lowe, why do I call him Nathaniel Lowe? Nathaniel Lowe. Nathaniel Lowe.
I'm the same way, dude.
I don't know what it is. I want him to be Derek
Lowe. It's the same way with me with Jay Happ and Ian Happ.
I don't know why.
Ian Happ is still Jay Happ.
I do it on my radio show and they're just staring at me. I'm like, what? They go, you did it again. I'm like, okay, Nate Lowe. I get it. The all-star first baseman. He hadn't played all year. Josh Young gets hurt, you know, breaks his hand when he gets hit by a pitch. So he barely played. That's your all-star starting third baseman. And then in the rotation, we kind of knew with the Rangers, it was going to be a little weird starting out because of not having DeGrom, of course, not having Scherzer, losing Montgomery and him not coming back to the team after how good he was in the latter part of last year and in the playoffs. So it kind of felt like a patchwork starting rotation. What's funny is we were told that the bullpen would be deeper and better than it was last year. And then lo and behold, you get into the season and some of the same problems that they struggled with in the regular season last year, they're struggling with this year. So I still think it's going to be Texas and Seattle, and it's really hard to count Houston out, even though they're 8 games under .500. But I mean, Texas, I thought Texas would win the division this year. I thought Seattle would get the wild card and Houston would be right there with them. So we'll see how it kind of unfolds. It's just, you know, there's still 140 plus games left.
You know, outside of Marcelo Ozuna, the Braves are sort of in a little bit of a power outage right now. They're 13th in the league in home runs, which, you know, is kind of surprising considering Ronald just got his first home run on Wednesday. Adolis Garcia is the only Rangers player with more than three home runs. What's going on? Like, why is this happening? Because it's a lot like what's happening with the Braves, with the exception of Marcelo Ozuna playing out of this world.
Yeah, and the Braves are still scoring a ton of runs, as you know, and that's one of the things. I mean, the Rangers are still putting up runs. It has been weird. The fact, you know, Semien actually today against Detroit here on Thursday hit a leadoff home run and got another one. And Seager, I think it was either, yeah, I think it was Tuesday in Detroit where he had two that, if the weather hadn't been wonky, they would have gone out. They just didn't go out. And Seager had another one at home. I think it was last week that hit. I mean, if the wall's 2 inches shorter, it's a home run right off the top.
Right.
So it is kind of surprising with a team that can mash like this. But again, like I said, Lowe and Young not being in the lineup is going to take away some of the power. I think to me, the surprising thing is that Seager doesn't have more. And the really surprising thing is Wyatt Langford, because all we had heard coming in was this dude. And it's true. I mean, he was, you know this. He mashed when he was at Florida. He mashed in the minor leagues. And he's come up and we're 20-something games in. And that's a guy that is doing well. I mean, he's driven in some runs and he's putting the ball in play, but he doesn't have the home run yet for whatever reason.
On the other side, the starting rotation, you know, coming into the season, you look at the Rangers and like, okay, you're going to get Max back at some point, DeGrom probably a little bit later, and the rotation kind of is a concern because you're kind of piecing it together, and yet it's kind of been a strength for the Rangers. Now, you look at the probable pitchers for the series, and it's still sort of up in the air, but of the starting pitchers that have been successful this year, you know, who surprised you most?
Man, that's a good question. It's probably before he got hurt was Cody Bradford, who just was lights out for like his first three starts that nobody, you just would not have guessed that. And I think the early season thought was when Scherzer gets healthy, Bradford would be the spot that he would take. And then it looked like, oh my gosh, now all of a sudden Max, they're saying, could be back in May in just a couple of weeks, which was way earlier than anybody thought. So Bradford was pitching real good, and then John Gray in his first two starts was horrible. So I thought, well, maybe they do something with Gray. And then Gray, of course, starts to pitch good in his last couple of starts. Dunning was solid last year. I think that this rotation, you know, Eovaldi is such a bulldog. And I would say I don't want to call him an ace, but he's the ace of this staff. He certainly was in the playoffs.
For now, anyway.
Yeah, for now. I mean, he is. And when he's on, he's nasty, and he's got his stuff. And then he got roughed up his last start out. So, I mean, for me, it was Cody Bradford until he got injured, and they're trying to do some spot starts. They called up Jack Leiter, made his major league debut for a spot start as they're trying to kind of figure out what they want to do with this rotation. But Lorenzen, who's only had one start, was solid in the one start that he had. Gray has been really good, as I mentioned, in the last couple of starts that he's had. And I think overall it's – I mean, look at it, they're kind of borderline top 10 with their starting pitching in a lot of the categories across Major League Baseball, which is probably a little better than you would have anticipated. So it's not an elite staff, but with the offense that they have, they tend to get the job done, which is, I think, honestly, their 500 record coming into today felt a little misleading because they feel like a better than 500 team. And the starting pitcher has, I think, been better than a 500 team.
With Max coming, are you surprised that Max is, I mean, you look at the reports, I mean, it's a couple weeks away. I mean, yeah. It's early May. Does that surprise, how much does that surprise you?
I think everybody's surprised. I mean, from the people that we've talked to in spring training, they thought best case scenario, you're looking at June. And then all of a sudden, as it got closer, like, man, he's ahead of schedule. And so you kind of roll out those different stages of rehab where you start throwing some BP and then you're throwing to live hitters and you're doing this type of thing and like kind of those mini simulated games that they'll do. And he's just passing every stage of those with flying colors. And I mean, there is a really good shot that Scherzer is going to be starting a game the first week of May, which
that's wild.
I don't think in the offseason anybody would have thought that.
Yeah, that is absolutely wild. What's the expectation for DeGrom?
Man, they keep saying it's going to be probably like around the trade deadline, like maybe that in August at some point. You never know with those things. And that's the thing. I mean, his second one, it'd be awesome if he could come back. And my kind of thing with DeGrom is, if you go with the thought that this is a playoff team, which I am, then maybe you can get him back for that last little push in September and he can be something for you in the playoffs. But I really don't expect to really see any significant thing in the regular season. Hopefully they don't need that, where you feel like you have to all of a sudden have that arm in your rotation. But, you know, if he could get back late August and be ready to roll by September, that could be a huge boost for them down the stretch.
All right. We like to play a little game called Three Up, Three Down, and I invented it last week. So I don't really know the rules yet, but you might be able to help me out. Three up, three down. Three things that need to happen for the Rangers to win the series and what might happen if they lose the series.
Man, it's going to be bullpen would be the first thing. The Rangers bullpen is going to have to be somebody other than David Robertson and Kirby Yates. And Leclerc opens the season as their closer, and then they move him to where now he's coming in and pitching like the sixth and seventh. They had to send Yeri Rodriguez down. Like, they're trying to find something, because you can't use Robertson and Yates every single game. And so if the Braves can get into the bullpen and force the Rangers starters out early in this and kind of have to extend them a little bit, even Urania, who's been solid, I mean, you just can't pitch these guys every day. And so the quicker the Braves get into the bullpen, that would be the downfall. I think the Rangers have gotten stuck in this a couple of times this year where, for whatever reason, it happened against Houston. It happened, a couple of times, the A's. The 1-0 games where, for whatever reason, their bats just aren't working. And sometimes that's the zone. I think it's interesting, especially with guys like Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford. They are so disciplined at the plate, they don't adjust to the umpire zone, if that makes sense. Okay. Like, as you know, different umpires will have different zones. And so sometimes I'll be like, well, that's a ball. Well, this umpire's calling a strike, man. You got to swing the bat. And so I think that, and then inexplicably,
we call that the Angel Hernandez factor.
Well, yeah, that one, yes. But it's happened a couple other times. I mean, the Wyatt Langford at bat against Angel Hernandez is comical, and anybody who's a baseball fan would agree. I mean, that was just stupid.
Yes.
I mean, that's dumb. That's a whole nother. We can just go down the rabbit hole on Hernandez.
Sorry to get you off on a tangent.
But yeah, that would be. And then my other thing for the Rangers to win the series, you know, it's got to be the bullpen. The bats got to be there, because, I mean, the Braves, they'll put some runs across the board. They're going to score runs. They're going to get hits. And the other thing is, the Rangers are one of the best defensive teams in baseball. And in this Detroit series, they've made a couple of weird gaffes in the field. And that's the type of thing, much like a team against Detroit, who I don't think Detroit's all that good, but the Braves are. If you make those types of mistakes, that's how you get swept. So,
yeah,
I mean, those are really the keys for the Braves. And I mean, if the Braves can get through the starting rotation or the starting pitching in whatever game, you know, you get through that and get to the bullpen early, it makes it really tough on the Rangers, because they're just not a team designed to get into their bullpen.
Well, Matt, it's been fun. What do you expect? What's the series prediction? You think the Rangers take at least one here? What's the plan?
I think we'll get at least one. I mean, if Ollie's going to pitch and he's solid and he likes that environment and it's a big game against a really good baseball team, and I think he rises to that occasion. Outside of that, I mean, the Braves at home. Yeah, I'll take one for the Rangers and give you two. That seems fair.
I'll take it.
I bet you will.
And I'll you know what? Because of that, I'll buy you a beer in Dallas for media days.
I will take you up on that.
How about that?
Yeah, we'll definitely do that.
And I know you are a connoisseur of beer.
I am. And I know all the good breweries around the DFW area, so we can make that happen.
I don't doubt it. That's my full expectation of you, Matt. Appreciate it. Let everybody know how they can get you on the social media, where they can listen to you.
Yeah, you can find it on social media at McMatt Radio on Twitter, or X, or whatever we're calling it now, MCMATT Radio, on Instagram at McLaren. And if you want to check out the show, you can stream it. The best way to do that is to download the Sports Day app, and you can just click Listen Live in our partnership with the Dallas Morning News. So you can listen through that as well to catch the show, probably the best way.
Awesome, Matt. Appreciate it.
All right, Barrett. Thanks, man.
That will just about wrap it up for this edition of the Braves Report. Hey, appreciate you guys listening. Please share the show. Apple, Spotify, wherever you consume your podcast, it's there. Listen, let's be honest. If you're listening to this podcast, you pretty much know how to do the podcast thing. So please share this with your friends, with your family. Give us a 5-star rating if you like the show. Give us a comment. What can we do better? What do you like? We can always tailor the show to fit the needs of the fans because, let's be honest, this show is for the fans. Let's get a series win against the defending world champs, Braves Country. We'll talk to you on Monday.
When you're looking for leading cardiac treatment, look to Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with 5 emergency cardiac care centers, so we're here when you need us most. We lead with more than 55 locations in Georgia. That means we're always in the heart of your neighborhood. We lead with clarity, because clear direction is better when it comes to understanding every step of your treatment. Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with heart.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over 4 decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.